Which one?
The Swiss boy.
Swiss
boy.
Oh,
the Swiss
boy. It's a Swiss boy. I'm German. You know.
How about superstitions or that? Were you? Did they have superstitions?
Nah.
When you were growing up, that you were taught.
And no, we weren't taught any of that, to be scared of anything. Or
how about they called it sometimes the Brauka, where it was folk medicine, where you had like a lady in the town that had different herbs and things.
No, but I do know of, which would have been a cousin of my husband. He had a little boy when he was born that his whole forehead was all black, and the doctors wouldn't do anything about it. They said they couldn't remove the birthmark or anything from it, and it was hideous. So one old lady told them, if they have a woman that has her first baby, to take the afterbirth and put it across that forehead with the three holy names, that birthmark will go away. But the doctors know they wouldn't touch it. And the woman across the street had her firstborn child, and they took that afterbirth and they put it across it, and that birthmark disappeared completely.
And that's a story that you
that
know
is
you've heard.
Joseph Kurtz is the boy's name that they took that off.
Wow.
Right.
Joseph Kurtz?
Kurtz.
K-U-R-T-Z. And who was the lady that suggested that? Who was the...
I don't know who that lady was that suggested
but
it.
But in Devil's Lake?
But in Devil's Lake, yes.
Okay. Do you know what year
I
that
know,
was?
I know it was a Stephen girl, or a woman. Well, she was a Stephen before she got married. I don't even remember what her married name was, but when she had her first baby, that's the afterbirth they used for it.
And it worked.
And it worked.
And you say in the name of the father?
There was an, yeah. And there was another old one they had, but it doesn't make for nice reading, but you know, well, children do get worms, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they said, the child has worms, you take a oak board and you warm it up, get it nice and warm, and then put a diaper over it, a flannel diaper, set the baby on it, and all those worms will go into that wood. I tried it. It worked. And that was the end. He had worms once, and that was the end. No more worms after that. And I told that to one of the ladies here, in fact, the one that was here yesterday. And she says, I wish you'd have told us that years and years ago. They said, now she had six children or eight. And she says, every one of her children had it. She says, we spent more money for medicine and stuff. She says, and we always had trouble with it. And I know my eldest boy, he had it, and that's what I done with it, which came from an old lady. And you'd sometimes think they're wives' tales, but it worked.
Well, they were called Braukas, or
Brau, yeah.
And they were given that title? The lady was given that title? Or
no, they... I didn't know anybody that had that title or anything.
Okay.
No. Now, we had a neighbor lady, and my hands were full of warts. And she says, next time there's new moon or something, she says, you come on over and I'll get rid of those for you. Now, I forgot all about it again, but one night she did come and call me, and she took me out and she put my hands out like that and put the three holy names over them, and I don't know what else she said with it, but about a week or two later I never had a wart on my hand anymore.
So they did work.
So they did work.
Mm-hmm.
But it was always, they always had to use the three holy names.
Right.
So and it worked. And I know, well, it was Aunt Louise. She knows the kid, too, who they was done on. And there was an escarlet on his forehead. And the doctors wouldn't touch it.
Wouldn't touch it.
They couldn't touch it.
Do you know any other stories about like
mm-hmm.
that? Can you remember? There's a book out about the brown cushion. I should get a copy and I'll send it to you.
But those I know that...
That worked
that
for
worked.
You.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I had a ringworm, by gosh, too. On my hand, on this hand, right there. And my godmother, she saw it one day when I was in the store. And she says, just a minute. She said, you got a ringworm there. She says, just stay there a minute. And she went out and she got a thimble. And she turned it three times around. That thimble with the three holy names. And after a few days, I didn't have the ringworm anymore.
Not the one that has something to do with devil or you eat the flesh, but do not eat the flesh of man. I don't know what the verb was. She repeated it in English.
Vorm. How the heck does that go on? What's the first one was, don't eat, no.
You eat the dirt, but do not eat the flesh of man.
Yeah, but I can't remember just how the saying went. I know, vorm es kein mancher Fleisch. And then it's good for the good song, good Heiligen Geist. But I can't remember the first part of it.
Maybe later you'll think of it.
I used to know it.
You used to say it or do it. Or
I never done it really, but I heard a lot of it that was done, and I knew what the saying was because my mother-in-law used it on my husband's leg one time, and it worked for a ringworm. They had a big ringworm or something on his leg.
Yeah. How about family values? What family member do you best remember of the older group? Aunts, uncles, grandfather? Who was special to you?
I remember my grandfather a lot because he was special to us. And his sister. She used to come and stay with us quite a bit.
And who was that?
Well, her married name was Burkhart. Her first name was, I like powder, Aunt Nellie. And she was a sister to Grandpa Sheely.
But she was Nellie Burkhart?
Yeah, well, that was her married name. Her husband was dead at the time.
Do you know his name?
All I knew it was Burkhart.
Burkhart, that's all.
Burkhart.
But she lived in Devil's Lake?
No, she lived out on the farm with her son.
And where was the farm?
Out by, around Saltham someplace. I was never there. But she used to come and stay with us. She was always sitting and making, braiding rugs with old clothes and stuff. You know, tearing strips and braiding rugs.
Did the grandfather have any more sisters or brothers?
That's the only one that I got to know.
Okay. That you ever heard of? Or
in fact, her son, later years, lived right through the alley from me. But it took me years before I ever knew that he was the son to her.
What was his name?
Frank Burkhardt.
Frank Burkhardt. And who did
there he? There was two Frank Burkhardts in that town, right?
Well, who did Frank marry?
I don't know who his first wife was, and I didn't know what her the second wife's name was.
But they lived near you when you were married.
Yeah.
Okay. That's right behind it.
Right. Right across the alley from. Okay.
Wasn't the other guy Frank Burkhardt too?
Yeah.
The one that was really.
And Teresa's brother was also a Frank Burkhardt.
No wonder I always had trouble.
They were two different families.
Aunt Teresa. Who is Aunt Teresa?
She was the wife of my mother's brother, John Shield. Yeah, you know John Shealy, my mother's brother?
Mm-hmm.
Well, he married Teresa Burkhardt.
Oh, okay, okay. Boy, that really starts getting confusing.
I've gone way back again.
Yeah, yeah. So this John Shealy was married. Shealy.
Yeah.
We're calling him Shayla here. He was married to a Teresa Burkhardt.
Yeah.
Okay.
She was my godmother.
Oh, and she was your godmother. Where were you baptized?
St. Joseph.
St. Joseph.
Devil's Lake, yes.
Okay. Well, you might not know this, but I'll ask. Did women homestead that you know of?
No.
You never knew of any woman that homesteaded?
No.
Did women in your time work outside the home?
Some went out and done housework.
Okay.
But that's about it, as far as the German women were concerned.
Okay.
But most of them just stayed at home and raised families.
Mm-hmm.
They all had big gardens in the summertime. And
they canned?
Oh, yeah.
Maybe they canned. Yeah, did they smoke their meats even in town?
Yes. In fact, my father in Grand Forks, when he lived in Grand Forks, he smoked the hams and cured them for the butcher that had a meat market and grocery
mm-hmm.
store on Washington Avenue, on University Avenue.
So your grandfather was his supplier of smoked hams?
No, my father.
Oh, your father.
My father.
Oh, your
my
father.
My father done
okay,
that.
George.
But, he just done it for the butcher's private family.
Oh, okay.
The butcher, he smoked hams and things, but when he wanted some for Easter and stuff, he had my dad cure him and smoke them for him. For his own private family.
Do you smoke? Do you have anybody who smokes today yet? Who smokes hams and things at their own?
No.
No. Mm-hmm. How about German foods? Do you remember any favorite German food that your mother might have made?
My mother done a lot of fancy cooking and stuff, but we never really gave it names. We ate it. When it comes to baking or something, she was a wonderful cook and she was a wonderful baker.
And do you cook like her today, or did you, you know, well?
Well, some, but I more or less got used to what my husband wanted and the way my husband wanted things.
Okay.
It, but he never, he liked the way she cooked because he when he first went to Grand Forks, he stayed with him. The only thing he said, she always packed his lunch too much.
too much.
He couldn't get her to cut down on all the lunch he always sent. Mm. No, she was a good cook and she was a wonderful baker. And sometimes now when I stop and think, a lot of these things they call French pastries and stuff, heck, we ate them as kids. My mom ate them.
At home, in
yeah.
the kitchen.
Mm-hmm. or Fodderman or something like that. What the heck? We had that. We thought nothing of it. That's...
What list of foods do you have for German food?
Oh, strudel, solipsi, kuchen, kuchen?
Kuchen?
Kuchen, different breads. I just know of sauerkraut. I married an Italian, so I really cook Italian. But I do remember my father liked canning sauerkraut and things like that.
Well, my mother did too, and she would take cabbage leaves and between layers, she'd press down the cabbage, and then she'd take the outer leaves of the cabbage, so she had to make ulupsi with,
mm-hmm.
and she'd put those leaves in. And then she liked sour apples, so then she, on top of that, she put a layer of apples. Nobody ate them but her. Nobody would touch those sour apples, but she liked those sour apples. And that's the way she'd fill the crock with the...
How about watermelon? Do you remember pickled watermelon?
I remember pickled watermelon rind. And I remember the small watermelons that they
would pickle.
Yeah, pickle.
And the tomatoes that they pickled.
The tomatoes, yeah.
How about grumbeer dano?
Now what's that?
It's potato.
Potato sausage?
Mm-mm.
You take meat and pork. Just the lean stuff, and cut them in small cubes, and small cubes of potatoes, and then they'd stuff casing. Stuff the casing, mm-hmm. and then they'd boil it. And after it was boiled, they would take it out and brown it, fry it.
I've never heard of that, but I haven't heard of a lot of German things.
Well,
so. Did it have a name, or just potato sausage?
The German name is all I know.
They might say Kartoffelderm.
Okay.
See, now the slang for potato would be Grumbeere, the way many folks would say it, but the actual word would be Kartoffel.
Oh. Well,
sausage.
I have to ask around.
Now, the Lutherans make a lot of it around here, but. Her husband once, I ate the stuff I made, and then when he heard they were having it out there, oh, he was going out there, he was going to have some. He didn't go back a second time. They ground it up and put it in, and that wasn't the same stuff.
Not the same.
So I got lazy. So instead of, well, the casing really got too high to buy anyway. When they want $5 and $6 and $7 a pound, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I decided to just make it, mix the meat and the potatoes and cut it that mm-hmm. way and put it in the roaster and salt and pepper and some bay leaves and spices and that with it and some butter over it and a little water and shove it in the oven and bake it. They all like it.
They came out really good.
Yes. Now, everyone we've had it. In fact, her son, he thought it was so darn good that he made it for Christmas Eve. For they were.
Well, you're going to have to give me that recipe, and I'll try it.
Well,
this Christmas.
I just told it to you.
Salt, pepper, onion powder, I think.
But what kind of sausage?
No sausage. I said.
Oh.
No, you'd buy it. You'd have a lean pork roast or something.
Oh, a lean pork roast. Okay.
Yeah, and you cut it just the red meat. And a little mm-hmm. cubes and your potatoes and salt and pepper. My kids, they all like it, and every one of hers does too.
And got a little butter over the top.
Yeah.
When you bake it.
Because
do you cover it then? Do you cover it? Like, a roaster pan rather than a flat dish?
No, I cover it. I put it in a roaster. Cover it.
Sounds good.
Great potatoes nowadays.
Yeah.
Irrigated potatoes have quite a bit of moisture.
I haven't heard anybody that didn't like it, you know it? And it was really simple, but I done the same thing as putting it in the casing.
Sure.
You know, of course, out there they only put salt and pepper on it, you know.
And and they dabbed a little butter over the top.
Yeah.
And so it helped.
Mm. And when they boiled it, then they took it out and browned it in a little butter. We always had plenty of butter because we always had a couple of cows. So.
Well, I had some, they call them, I don't know what they call them. It was bread dough-like, and then you rolled them just in little things, and then you dropped them in water. And potatoes were in there, chips, real sliced potatoes were in there, and onion. And then you just simmer it. Do you know what that's called?
Nipple?
Maybe it's nipple. Is that nipple? I've heard that word.
And then when they took them out,
they browned them a little bit.
They heated the butter and then put in dried breadcrumbs.
Yes.
And buttered them and poured it over it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Grumbler and nipple.
It's what?
Kartoffel and nipple.
Kartoffel and nipple. Okay.
Yeah. And they put buttered breadcrumbs over it.
Yeah.
They brown the bread, toasted the bread in the butter and poured it over. I like it.
Yeah, it was good. I couldn't quit eating it. I'm gonna really gain some weight when I'm up here and I can't afford it. Well, we're almost done with the standard interview, but I want to ask you if you have something really special you'd like to kind of tell us about the German-Russian.
Well, I don't know anything about Russia.
No, I mean the German-Russian people, their heritage in America, and how you lived here. And do you have any?
Well, I know that within 2-3 blocks, you can always find different dialects.
Of the German-Russian.
Of the German-Russians. Now, say I lived on 9th Street, and if I went down to 8th Street, their language was different as far as just a different dialect, the way they put it. But mm-hmm. everybody understood everybody else, mm-hmm. so it didn't mean anything. We all understood each other.
And when you walked through Devil's Lake as a child, did most people, were they speaking German?
Not if you went uptown.
No.
No.
Okay.
The only ones you would find, really, that would speak German was the Jews. They would more or less talk German with the Germans, but
with
not
the
otherwise.
Germans, okay. Was there a large German Jewish community in Devil's Lake?
Oh yes.
Okay.
They had clothing stores, and they're still there today.
In Devil's Lake.
The relationship, yeah. Mm-hmm. Sons and that. I worked for Jews. I was treated as one of them. In the olden country, well, in fact, where I worked for Sharks, I had to eat at the table with them. And then when their people came from the old country in there, they couldn't convince them that I wasn't their daughter. Because in the olden country, the help does not eat at the table with the people.
Mm-hmm.
They eat in the kitchen or in the pantry, but they do not eat at the table. And those people I worked for, we sat at the table and ate with them.
And their names mm-hmm. were?
Shark.
Shark. Were they German? Were they Russian? Germans from Russia? Only Jewish?
Right? No, I don't know. They weren't from Russia, but they were all Jewish.
Okay. And German?
And they could speak, yeah, they spoke German. And, but they didn't speak German to me. We spoke Jewish. What little I picked up on it was in the Jewish and the English. Oh, they all talked English.
Sure.
Because the kids and that, they all went to school and stuff in English. When I was in 8th grade, I worked for Glickson's, which was a Jewish family. All I had to do was watch the baby at night, more or less, when they went out. And of course, Saturdays and Sundays, you helped mm-hmm. clean the house and stuff, and you done supper dishes and that, and you worked. But it was after school.
Mm-hmm.
But that was the best baby I ever saw in my life. That baby never cried. I used to wonder what she had on her breasts when she nursed. That's no kidding. No. You never heard that baby cry. They could go out, and if they stayed out till 12 o'clock or so, you never had to tend to that baby. They just slept. Never saw a kid that good in my life.
None of yours were that good, easy, huh?
Not that good, no.
Not that good.
No.
Well, Teresa, I'd like to thank you, and we're going to end the interview. And
Yeah, now why don't you make some...